Exactly.
Well, amen. Amen. I'm getting to the point where I can walk and chew gum at the same time, but I'm not quite ready, Brother Rogers, to do all that and sing and harmonize and all that. That's quite a talent that's been worked at. That's good. God gives us those talents. The kids, they love the carpet ball out here. Last night I was walking by, they're doing the carpet ball, and I'm thinking, I can't even see anymore. And they're still carpet balling away. And those of you that were walking over to the fireworks, and by the way, what a display. I was expecting some fireworks, but I wasn't expecting that. That was really something. That was, I would say maybe, I didn't really put a lot of thought into what I was expecting, but that was probably three times as much as what I was expecting. That was a lot of fun. But you know, on the way over there in the darkness, we're stumbling in the darkness, and these kids, they can still see. Isn't that something? Their night vision is amazing. I do remember it really became clear to me that their night vision wasn't gone when I was walking upstairs with Alec years ago, and the upstairs was dark, and I kind of was going up the stairs. Then I ran up ahead of him to hide in the darkness, and I was going to scare him. So I'm kind of going by memory in the darkness, and I find this spot where I'm going to scare him, and I can't see a thing. I'm just waiting there. I hear, "Dad, Dad, where are you, Dad?" I'm going to scare him. And I'm just waiting there. Well, little did I know, he's like seeing perfectly. And I didn't even realize he walked right up to me. And I'm still waiting there for him to like stumble in the darkness, and I'm going to scare him. He walked right up to me, and he's like, "Dad, what are we hiding from?" And I'm looking down, I reach out, and I'm like, "Oh, there you are." We're hiding from the bad guys. That's what we're doing. You know, and I think it's a little bit of an object lesson for us, Pastor Friesen. These eyes get dimmer, don't they? But as you know the Lord, eternity gets sharper as you age. Now, young people, your eyes are real crystal clear, and you pick up on this world. But it's almost a blessing as you get a little older and you need your glasses, and then you get into your 40s and you need your bifocals and then your trifocals and your quadrifocals and you need all sorts of glasses. But you know, the Bible says, I like it there in Proverbs 5, where it says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the day of redemption. And young people, eternity, you think, man, I see all this and it's exciting. I don't know. Well, eternity gets more and more exciting as you age. Just keep following the Lord. Keep following the Lord in eternity. And for us, while this world is getting a little less clear, you know, keep an eye on us. You know, you think, surely they see that, you know, fire pit that they're walking toward in the dark. Don't assume we're seeing that fire pit. You know, grab us and say, "Hey, you see that fire pit you're walking toward, right, in the darkness? You might save us from injury this week." But I want to just talk about the eyes of the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. Proverbs 15, 3. Now, I enjoyed, Brother Friesen, enjoyed the videos last night, and I'm remembered about D-Day. Boy, what a big day, huh? And of course, we had the 75th anniversary of D-Day this last month. And Canada and America and England, boy, that was the largest amphibious assault of all time. That was really, I mean, it's on a scale that we can't even comprehend. Even the secret service work that went into keeping all of that, there are stories, there are movies just about keeping that a secret. That was something. Now, we have a man in our church who was born on D-Day. So when the 75th anniversary, he turned 75 that day. And for years, he's been the fourth grade Sunday school teacher. And can I just say thank you to all the Sunday school teachers? You're precious. And those little people, those little rugrats in your class, you know, keep praying for them. Be patient with them. I like to preach from this Bible because a Sunday school teacher gave it to me. I said all my verses and showed up enough times, and a Sunday school teacher gave this to me. And I just praise God for Sunday school teachers. Well, one day, I worked with him in Sunday school for many years, and fourth grade's a special time. We saw a lot of people get saved. That's a really special time. Some of the spiritual wheels are really starting to turn in fourth grade. We saw a lot of young men get saved, and it was a tremendous blessing. But one time he said, Brother Mitchell, would you teach them Proverbs 15:3? Yes. So I had a visual, Proverbs 15:3, and we said, and so I was teaching them, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So I'm teaching that to them, and we all know that, don't we? Is there anyone in here that's surprised that God sees everything? Anybody? I can't see real well, but he can. So just throw some. No, my eyes are okay with it, as long as I have my glasses on. But none of us are surprised that God sees everything, are we? But how many of you say, you know what, I know that God sees everything, and I live like he sees everything? I think most of us would be like, oh, are we going to touch on that today? Yes. So my next question is, why don't we live like God sees everything? And I want to give us, I want to examine it, and I want to help us put our finger on it, and I want to encourage us to get to living that life where God sees everything, and I live like it. All right, so first of all, I think people forget that God sees everything. How many of you, let me just tell you this. We see something exciting, and we're like, I will never forget this moment as long as I live. And then in a couple months, other exciting moments have, like Brother Roger said, where I learn a new song and a little bit of those old songs vanish. Well, we take part in exciting experiences, and that moment that we said, I will never forget this as long as I live, I went to Israel. I saw this. I went to Israel, and our tour guide said, he brought us into this clearing, and there was a stone. And he's like, let me tell you the story of what happened at this stone. You know, and he's like, oh, this army came in from over here, and this man did this and came through. By the time the tour guide, we had an amazing tour guide in Israel. By the time he was done, I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. You there, please, I'm begging you, get my picture with this stone, you know. And you kneel, you kneel by the stone like this, and they take your picture. And you're in awe, and you're like, I will never forget this moment as long as I live. And then you see something exciting the next day. And you see something exciting the next day. And the next day, and by the end of the trip, you get home, and somebody's like, let me see your pictures. And you're like, yes, this was pretty exciting. And then there you are, with a big grin on your face, pointing at that stone, and you're like, and the person says, wow, what happened there? I mean, you seem pumped, and you're like, I can't remember. What happened there? So I think there's some important truths that we just forget to think about, and we kind of forget, and I think that's one of them. There at Fairhaven, we have some security cameras, you know. The Lord's blessed us with a good facility, and so we have some security cameras here and there, and it's been a blessing to be able to just check up on things here and there. There was a man that it was men's swim time, so the men were swimming, and his wife brought in a pizza for this man and his children and his sons to eat when they came out. And so I think this woman had a daughter. I think they each grabbed a slice, and so that left six slices. So they left the pizza in the snack shop. I think he just knew the plan that when they got done with swimming, they'd come out and there would be the pizza. Well, they got done swimming, they came out, and there was like a pepperoni left. And he's like, he gets on the phone, hey, hon, where's my pizza? And she goes, it was right there. Somebody said, well, let's check the cameras and see what happened. And so this little girl was hungry, apparently. And so there's the hallway over here, and you'd see the door open just a crack. And she'd look around, make sure no one was out there, and she'd come over, and she'd take a slice and scurry back. And then after a while, the door would open again, and she'd come over and take a slice and scurry back. Well, you know, and what's funny is people forget that we're being tracked, don't they? I met a bounty hunter at a church one time, a real-life bounty hunter. And he was in this church, and I said, we said, tell us, how do you track down the people you're after? And he said, well, a lot of times they post stuff to Facebook. You know, looking forward to being with mom tonight. And so he goes, I literally follow them on Facebook. And he'll just go, and again, it's like there's a disconnect that you're being tracked. And I think that happens to us, huh? There, we forget, and it's not, tracked isn't the right word. But God, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. I think we forget. I think sometimes we get to the point where we don't care. We don't care. Siblings, you ever say that to your brother? It's like, mom's going to find out you did that. You're like, I don't care. I don't care. And you're like, really? Should we go get mom right now? He's like, oh, wait, okay, maybe I care some, you know. But we get so hard-hearted sometimes. We really do. We get backslidden. And you guys know it. Sometimes maybe somebody's not doing right. They're your friend. And you say, hey, you know, this isn't right. Let's get this right. And they're like, I don't care. They're bitter. They're hard. Sometimes they get to the point where they don't care. I was thinking about, and then you and I, we say, well, I care. How much do you care? I was thinking about that verse in James 2:19 where it says, the devils believe and tremble. And I got to thinking about that verse and I thought, boy, is my fear of God as healthy as it should be? Are the devils trembling at the awesomeness of God more than I am? And they're not even saved. Are they trembling more than I? See, a lot of us, we're comfortable with God. Do we fear God? David got himself in trouble when he was comfortable with God. And he wasn't obeying. Oh, I don't need to obey. I'm pretty comfortable with God. He's comfortable with me. And he put the ark on a cart instead of carrying it like he was supposed to. The oxen stumbled. It fell. Uzzah died. Oh, there was anger. David was angry. And then there was great fear. Sometimes we say, I just don't care. We need to care. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Like, I'm comfortable with that thought. No. I don't think we're understanding. We need to tremble at the awesomeness of God. We don't want to say, me and God, we're like this. No, he's God. And I think David, he feared and he goes, oh God, I'm so sorry. I forgot that we're not buddies. You love me more than anybody else's love. We heard about that love last night. Thank you for that message last night. But we're not buddies. You allow me to be your friend. We learn about that in the New Testament. But we're not buddies. He never ceases to be God Almighty. And you can be close. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But we're not buddies. God lets us draw nigh to Him. And then He draws nigh to us. But a lot of times we take this notion of God and we pull Him down to where we are. And we reinvent who He is. And that's, we have no right to do that. Well, that's the second thing. I think there's a third reason we're not living like God sees everything. I kind of think we give up on those eyes. You all know about first impressions, right? First impressions. You're going to go to a job interview, and you want to make a good first impression, right? What does that literally mean, first impression? When people think about first impression, you want to limit the bad things they know about you and maximize the good things they know about you. You want to control what they think they know about you. They know what I want them to know, right? You see where I'm going with this? They know what I want them to know. Now, the thing is, I think we give up on those eyes because we can't fool those eyes anymore. We're like, well, there's no fooling him. He knows me through and through. So there's no point. I can't fool those eyes, but there are still some eyes I can fool. I can go to church and I can make pastor think this. I mean, the other day, pastor's wife was, oh, you're such a good young man. And I didn't even pray that morning. But I think I'm doing a pretty good job. So there are eyes that I still can fool, but I've given up on those eyes because there's no fooling those eyes. I've given up on those eyes. So I just concentrate on the eyes that I still can fool. Don't fool any eyes. Let's just not fool eyes. Okay, that's not like, well, which eyes can I fool? Wrong question. Those eyes know me through and through. That means those are the eyes I should be concentrating on. I want to talk about that today, the eyes of the Lord. Let's pray, and then we'll look at some of these ideas, because I want to encourage you not to give up on those eyes. Those eyes are precious. Lord, we thank you for all the prayer that has gone into this morning already. Pastor Fries, and Lord, what a heart of sincerity, Lord. He wants so much for this week to be a special time where you can get a hold of our hearts. I pray, Lord, you'd bless these few more minutes, Lord. We'll finish up with some ideas here, and I just pray that you'd allow the audience, Lord, the people here, the good folks here, to pick up on these ideas. Bless them, Lord, and I ask these in Christ's name, amen. All right. If you give up on those eyes, first of all, you give up on a lot of comfort. It's the presence of God. There was a young man, and his parents gave him a plaque for his room, and it said, Thou God seest me. Thou God seest me. And he put that plaque in his room, and he said, that's really neat. Thanks, Mom and Dad. He gave him a hug. I love it. And then sometimes he'd be in his room, and he'd kind of glance over at that, and Mom had maybe said, I want you to be doing your devotions, or I want you to be... Sometimes he wasn't doing what he was supposed to. But that's okay. Mom's not watching me. Being good is when Mom's watching me, I do what she wants. That's what being good is. No. Being good is doing good all the time. What do they say about your character? It's what you are when nobody's watching. Well, somebody's always watching. Boy, he would look up and he'd say, Thou God seest me. And sometimes that comforting thought wasn't so comfortable. But that actually comes from Genesis chapter 16. Hagar was in the home of Abram and Sarai during a miserable time of their life. They were Christians who were more pragmatic than they should be. The Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Well, Abram and Sarah at that moment were leaning on their own understanding. At that time of their life, they were like, well, whatever makes sense to us, we'll do. And so God had been promising about Abram a seed, and Abram's wondering about this, and the culture of the day said that someone born in the house could be the heir, and so Sarah says, hey, we have this handmaid, Hagar, this Egyptian that we got when we were, again, being pragmatic from earlier on when we were hungry and left the land we were supposed to be in, instead of trusting God to take care of us where we're supposed to be, and we left all this pragmatism. And again, pragmatism is good to some degree. All right, you see a flame on the stove in the kitchen. Don't say, well, I'm going to reach out and touch it. Don't do that, okay? Yes, be sensible. But don't take your sensibilities and let them guide you through this life. And Abram and Sarah were doing that. And so Sarah says, why don't you have a child with Hagar? And so he does. And then she's expecting. And then pretty soon she's like, I'm better than Sarah because I'm having a baby and she can't. And then she's looking down on Sarah and Sarah's, I don't want to be looked down on. And she despises her and she goes, I want her out. And again, Abraham does the manly thing. Well, she's your handmaid, do what you want. None of this, you know what, we should stop and figure out what God wants us to do. All this, well, you know what, do what you want. And so she basically kicks her out, take off. And I love what the Bible says in Genesis 16. We don't have time to go there. But it says the angel of the Lord found her. I love that word found. He found her. She went out into the wilderness just to maybe head home. It was going to be better with the pagans than with believers. Isn't that a sad testimony? It'd be better with the pagans than with the believers. And believers can be awful when they're living that pragmatic life instead of being close to the Lord. So she's taking out the angel of the Lord, found her, and he says, there's a child in your womb, and he gives her some promises about that child, but she says, Thou God seest me? I'm a nobody. And she found that there's no such thing as a nobody before the great somebody. Isn't that comforting? It's comforting that those eyes, your eyes follow me as well. Now, years ago, there's Claire. This is years ago. She's 9 now, but I think she was about 7 years old. It was the middle of the night. I was sleeping, and these little 7-year-old knuckles rap on my door. And I'm like, oh, man. One of the kids is awake. What do they want? So Claire, come in. So she comes in, and she's like, Dad, I got to thinking. And that's never good. Kids are supposed to be asleep at nighttime. But she's thinking. And she says, I went outside and I opened the garage door. The car was in the driveway. Went out there and got something out of the car and I came back in. I don't think I shut the garage door. And we're on the second level. And I'm like, well, and I think I heard a noise down there just now. Where I want to say, let's just go back to bed. And say, okay, she heard a noise. And so I'm thinking, do you need my flashlight to go check it out? Is that what you're here for? You want to borrow my flashlight? You know, come back quickly and let me know what it was. No. Well, you dads, we don't get to be the hero for very long, right? They get older. The kids grow and they're less and less impressed with dad. So any chance we get sometimes to be the hero, you got to take it, right, Brother McQuiggan? So she was like, Dad, I need you to be my hero right now. So I'm like, let's go check this thing out. So I get my flashlight, and we're walking down the stairs, and it's dark down there, but this little hand reached up behind me and grabbed a handful of my T-shirt going down those stairs. And so we went down. It was nothing. So we went back to bed. She slept soundly. The next morning, I'm like, Claire, wasn't that scary last night? We were checking the house for bad guys. And she's like, oh, it was nothing to it. And there wasn't anything to do with it because when she headed into the darkness, she had a handful of dad. And my friend, there are times of darkness awaiting you and I. A couple weeks ago, one of the ladies in our church went into the hospital in Chicago. And they said, your heart is too weak. We can't let you go. You need a heart transplant. She's pretty healthy. She's around 60 years of age. So she was there for a little bit. We have our midweek service on Thursday night. We started praying. They said they're going to talk about eligibility talks tomorrow to see if she can even be put on the list. And then there's a good chance she won't make it anyway. Because there's one lady at that same hospital that's been waiting for 11 months. And so that night we began praying. On Friday, we got the good news that she was accepted to go on the list. On Saturday, we got the news that they found her a heart suited perfectly only to her. So it's not a matter of just waiting for the next heart. It has to be a heart that's suited to you, and no one else in the world was suited to that heart, at least on their list. By Sunday, it was beating in her chest. By the next Thursday, our pastor was talking about prayer requests for our midweek prayer service. He's like, hey, can I just remind everybody that 1 week ago we weren't praying for her new heart to get better. We were praying for her just to be determined eligible to be placed on the list. 1 week later, we're asking God to strengthen her body as it needs to not reject that new organ and get stronger. That's amazing. And everyone in here, you're going to go into dark times. And dark times are so much better when you can reach up and grab a handful of God and go into those dark times. Because doesn't the Bible say in Psalm 139 that even the darkness is as light unto Him? They comfort us. All right, I'm going to have to move along a little more quickly. Number two, they cover us. They cover us. Listen to this verse, Psalm 91, verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now that verse didn't say anything about His eyesight. I'll get to that verse here in a minute. But He covers us with His power and His protection. Now, Pastor was talking about Job yesterday, and Job is an intriguing book. I don't know if you've ever remember reading Job for the first time, and you're in that first chapter, and the sons of God are presenting themselves before God, and then apparently the devil's there, just shooting the breeze with God, and you're like, they talk? I thought they were mortal enemies, and they are. But the devil, he's kind of reporting. God says, what have you been doing? And he goes, I've been walking down, up and down throughout the earth. He says, I've been going to and fro in the earth. And then you think, what does the devil do when he goes to and fro throughout the whole earth? Then Peter tells us, doesn't he? The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That's what he's doing. But I found this verse in 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Well, the devil's walking around. And by the way, the devil isn't walking around because he's so decrepit. Why do you think he's walking around as a roaring lion? He's stalking his prey. But as he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, guess what the eyes of the Lord are doing? 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run. That's faster than walking. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So while the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro seeking whom they may deliver. Yeah, I'm telling you, so you want to give up on those eyes, you give up on a lot of comfort. And you give up on his covering. Thirdly, those eyes convict us. Those eyes convict us. And you say, well, that doesn't sound good. Well, David got to the point where he enjoyed God's conviction. There in Psalm 139, David got to the point where he said, search me. Oh God, search me. And know my heart, try me. And know my thoughts. And what are the next two words? And see if there be any way. Oh God, please. I need those eyes to look me through and through. Tell me what you see. And of course, we know that verse in Hebrews chapter 4. Let me go there real quickly. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. You know, in Chicago, there's a lot of medical, and of course, you guys are near Toronto, there's a lot of scanning they can do, right? They can scan your bones. They can scan your soft tissue. They can scan your mind, you know, the brain, not your mind. They can scan your brain. They can scan this. They can scan that. They can look at your heart from different angles and decide which valve needs worked on. They can look at, my son broke his leg. They're constantly taking pictures and figuring out what they need to do with the angle of the break. That's amazing. They're looking through his leg. But you know what? There's one scan they can't do yet. Look inside your body and see how you're doing spiritually. And most people don't want the scan. It's like, ignorance is bliss. I don't want to be scanned. But at some point they say, hey, when you get to your 40s, you better get this checked out. You better get this scan. You better do this. And preventative health is pretty important, huh? And so you finally go and you maybe get a scan and they say, hey, can we show you something? Something showed up on your scan. And they take you and they show you a picture. And again, you're like, I don't know what it means. And they say, well, the radiologist pointed out this problem. And you have this. And we're going to have to consult with a surgeon. And there's probably going to be surgery. And then there's going to be chemotherapy. And they show you something on your scan. And you go from, I don't want to hear what the doctor has to say, to how soon can he see me? Well, God, his scan is so important. And you know what? The world around us, they don't want to know how their spiritual scan is doing. But guess what we need to do? We need to take their scan to the door and say, hey, something showed up on your scan. And that's what we're doing door to door. We knock on doors. They're dying and they don't know it. They're not ready for heaven just because they're a little bit comfortable with the idea of who God is. Remember the devils, they were comfortable with God. They believed and they trembled. All right, believing isn't enough. You have to belong to him. You have to know him as your Savior. And that's what we're doing. We knock on a door. And they're like, ah, they look at you like, why are you bugging me on my Saturday? And you say, hi, I'm out from Baptist Church. We're passing out some verses. We love people. We want to make sure they have a good church home. We also want to make sure they have a home in eternity. Can I talk to you for a few minutes? Because you've been spiritually scanned and some things showed up. But I have good news. Sometimes doctors, they go on vacation and you can't see him for a while. But the doctor you need here, he's available right now. Isn't that a blessing? Now, I'll just give you my points. I think you have the idea. I think you have the idea. Those eyes, don't give up on them. They convict us, don't they? But they also caution us. Remember that verse we started off with? The eyes of the Lord, they see the good and the evil. I think of as he stood over and he beheld as they gave money into the treasury, he beheld how the people gave. Jesus watched. His eyes want to look to promote those that are honoring him. You want to honor him and you're like, well, nobody will see this. Oh, somebody sees. You don't want to do it for anyone who sees anyway. You want to do all to the glory of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. But he does. He sees all of it. And sometimes smile to yourself and do something good and only let God see it. I'm going to do this right thing and no human being is going to know. God, this is just for you. That's kind of the opposite of the way we live sometimes. But do good things just because God sees them. Oh, he beholds the evil and the good, and they also counsel us, don't they? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 5 real fast. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. It says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. God is studying your future. God is studying the paths you're on. By the way, the devil, one of his main tricks is to get you to forget your paths. Look over in verse at the beginning of the chapter. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend to my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard my discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of the strange woman drop as an honeycomb. Boy, she's intriguing. Sin's intriguing. Sin's intriguing. Oh, it draws your attention. Her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to hell. Her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. My God, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. God is studying my future. He cares about my future. The devil says, forget about your future. Live for now. Throw your future away and enjoy some sin. On the way up here, I use my GPS. Aren't you glad for GPS as young people? In the old days, people had to use maps and read signs. People say, how did you get here? I'm like, I don't know. I followed the voice on my phone. So the GPS was really good. It told me how to get from home to here. Boy, wouldn't it be great if there was something that could chart out the future? If there was something that could tell us how to get from here to next year safely. Something that could tell me how to get from here to 2 years from now safely. 5 years from now safely. 10 years from now safely. I call it a GPS. God's plan of salvation. By the way, salvation isn't just a one-time thing. I mean, well, it is a one-time thing. But once Jesus is the way, when you get saved, you get on that way and you're on that path. And that path takes you for the rest of this life. And it starts at salvation. His GPS, God's plan of salvation. But then he's the way, the truth, and the life. And you stay on that way. And that's the only way that you're going to be where you need to be in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. So some people forget that God's watching. Some people don't care. And some people have given up on those eyes. I can't fool them. But let's not live for the eyes we can fool. Let's live for those eyes that do know us through and through. And be like David. Say, God, what do you see? What do you see? I got to know what you see. Show me what you see so that it can be dealt with, so I can be spiritually where I need to be. Let's make that our prayer this week. Lord, we love you and thank you for your goodness. Pray that you bless this week. Thank you for these good folks. They want to hear from you. I pray that you bless them in that regard. I do ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.